to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today, as we are each Sunday at noon, with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we're here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condominium and HOA questions. So give us a call right here in our studio at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
And, of course, even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows, sign up for our seminars, see who the show's sponsors are, and visit all of their websites, and automatically link to our Facebook page and join in on our discussion boards about the show, or start your own discussion board and get feedback from everybody else.
And by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you'll meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, and have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a sponsor of this show. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com. Send us a quick email.
And, of course, if you want to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 877-4-CONDO-CRAZE and visit the law firm's website at condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com.
Very interesting show last week. We had the pleasure of having Senator Fasano with us for the entire hour, answering a lot of our questions about both condominium and HOA legislation, and answering the calls from several angry listeners who are obviously demanding more regulation of homeowner associations in Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. It was not the easiest of hours for Senator Fasano last week, but I do want to thank him again for staying with us for the full hour and taking calls from really so many of our listeners. And a common theme last week was members of HOAs wanting some more regulation and control along the lines of what the Division of Condominiums does for condos in Florida. And when asked why we just don't see this type of greater regulation for HOAs, Senator Fasano basically commented that it was simply because there's just so many HOAs that it's almost impossible to regulate them. And a lot of our listeners weren't particularly pleased with that answer and thought that his answer actually proved their point, that it's precisely because there are so many HOAs in the state that even greater regulation is absolutely necessary.
Yeah, Senator Fasano also thought that it would simply be too costly to regulate HOAs, but condos basically pay to regulate themselves, with each condominium unit in the state contributing $4 per year to the division up in Tallahassee. You know, I think certainly we could require the same thing of HOAs. What do you think,
Yeah,
Eric?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question about it. But I was glad to see the senator on board with perhaps requiring HOA board members to become certified like their brethren on the condo side. He indicated at least that everything he's ever heard about the condo education course has been nothing but positive, and he personally wouldn't mind expanding the concept. And, of course, I, for one, am certainly in agreement with expanding education on a HOA level. No two ways about it. And as a matter of fact, lots of people ask us each week when the next Condo Craze board certification course is, and it looks like we'll be right back on track after the summer in September. So stay tuned by listening to the show and by checking for updates on the show's website for an exact date and time. But we've always let everybody know that we can bring the seminar to you if you have the facilities to seat at least 100 guests. All we need is some time in advance to make the arrangements. And as a matter of fact, Sean Virtue from Smith, Watson & Parker is with us today, and he helped arrange a Condo Craze board certification seminar for clients of Smith, Watson & Parker. How about telling us about it, Sean?
Well, as a service to our clients, on June 24th, Smith, Watson & Parker is sponsoring a Condo Craze board certification seminar at the Skolnick Center in Pompano Beach. I've attended all of your board certifications, and so far it's obvious that everyone who attends really enjoys, walks away knowing so much more than when they first came in the door. So we look forward to meeting many of our clients and having you teach them what they need to know.
Yeah, and we look forward to it as well. And as Sean said, there are always a lot of fun at the seminar. and we'll discuss for the first time the laws that became effective on July 1st, or will become effective on July 1st, just a few weeks away. Well, some big news last week, actually, in Broward County, but we just didn't have time to talk about it.
Big news because
of Senator Fasano's attendance. But Chief Judge Victor Tobin has decided to step down from the circuit court bench and go back to the private sector. And I can tell you, here's a guy who served as chief judge in this circuit during this entire foreclosure crisis. And you would think might be sick and tired of dealing with all these foreclosures, but instead, he took a job heading one of the state's largest foreclosure law firms. And what I can tell you about Judge Tobin is that he actually fought very hard to clear up problems with the clerk's office in Broward. He fought very hard for a new and desperately needed courthouse and really cared about maintaining dignity and professionalism in the courtroom. And we wish him the best of luck and success in his future endeavors from everybody here at the show. Judge Tobin is actually scheduled to stay on the bench for another month, but some foreclosure defense attorneys are concerned about appearing before him on foreclosure cases because, after all, this judge is about to be representing banks in foreclosure cases. But I know that the reverse situation doesn't require a judge to recuse himself or herself from a case. And what I mean by that is lots of judges actually start out, let's say, in the prosecutor's office and then become a judge. They obviously then don't have to recuse themselves from a case involving the prosecutor's office merely because they previously worked at the prosecutor's office. So I don't know why the reverse wouldn't be true, but we'll see how these concerns are addressed over the next month. But again, Judge Tobin, we wish him only the best of luck and success in his future endeavors.
Yeah, I want to touch on a few things, Eric. I don't know if a lot of people that are listening to our show know this, but over the last year or so, we've had a foreclosure division here in Broward County. Actually, we've had it in every county in the state of Florida. It was funded by the state for a year, and every county ran it a little bit differently. And I think Judge Tobin saw a lot of things that were happening in the beginning that weren't working out really well, and he took a lot of action to change them. And I think Broward, out of all the counties that I've attended these divisions in, Broward was running it absolutely the best. And I don't believe there's going to be too much of a conflict because the program's going on for another 3 more weeks until it ends, and Judge Tobin's not the judge that presides over
that.
But no sooner than we say that Judge Tobin served as Broward's chief judge during one of the most difficult times in history, do we read a story out of the Palm Beach Post that says Florida courts are out another $6 million because the legislature chose not to extend a one-time stipend aimed at reducing a foreclosure back. Did I say legislature?
Yeah.
That reminds you of somebody else, doesn't it?
Well, we asked Senator Fasano last week if he thought that the legislature and the courts were actually at each other's throats, and he replied basically, you know, when aren't they? But there's no question that the court system desperately needs more funding, and there's no question in my mind that the longer it takes to get these cases through the system, the longer the downturn in the real estate market is going to drag on. And as a matter of fact, the Sun Sentinel reported this week that sales of homes that were in some stages of foreclosure declined across South Florida during the first quarter of 2011.
I read that one theory behind all this is that buyers simply aren't as fond of houses that are in default, caught up in the system, or even scheduled for sale.
Yeah, that's true, Karen, but here's the irony with that, and here's why we have to get these cases through the system as quickly as possible. The Miami Herald had an article in the paper that very same day that said once a house has completed the foreclosure process and is now owned by the bank, the sale of bank-owned homes have begun to rise, which much of the sales actually go into foreign investors from Brazil, Venezuela, and Canada who are paying in cash. So again, when the houses are actually stuck in the court system, the sales are slow. But when the bank takes them over after a foreclosure sale, they're sold and the market gets moving. You know, it's not rocket science. We need to get these cases over and done with.
Yeah, and you know, if you're actually doing the right thing and keeping your mortgage payments current, you face the most difficult situation of all in attempting to sell your home. On the average in Miami, bank-owned property sold for over 50% less than non-distressed homes, and in Broward, over 28% less. So needless to say, good luck selling your home in today's market.
Well, with all of these foreclosures, it's estimated that the banks have over a 2-year supply of homes that have started to flood the market. So I guess the sooner these homes get sold by the banks at huge discounts, the sooner the rest of us can sell our homes at prices that make sense.
And it would make sense to actually get these cases moving. But how about we take our first call, Sherry from Hollandale?
Yes, hi. Right now I'm involved in a situation with a neighbor that has shut our electric box. We're in a townhouse community, so the electric box is located in her backyard. She's damaged my car 3 times. She's been seen in various stages of undress and sexual activity, and in full view of other condo balconies. Now, what has happened is we have gone to the board with letters from other homeowners. We have gone with pictures. I even had the secretary of the association witness what is going on. And yesterday, basically, the basis of the meeting is, well, it's only happening to us. So based on the secretary of the association, she's saying there's nothing that the board can do. But if 10 people would have come forward and gone to the meeting, then maybe something could have been done.
Yeah, don't understand why your board would take the position that it's okay for one unit owner to be a nuisance to one unit owner, but it wouldn't be okay if, you know, if it was two or more. I guess I don't understand the logic.
Well,
but
there is no logic. Yeah. It's ignorance. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, here again, basically what she's stating is my husband is president of the board. And what has happened is they tried to remove him yesterday, but no one wanted to step up and take his place. So now she's saying that basically my husband can sign a contract to obtain an attorney, but she has to approve it. And that the attorney, which will probably be you, and you will be hearing from me tomorrow, bright and early, has to be approved by her and has to speak with her directly. We have a situation here that goes back because it's obvious that she's been protecting this unit owner for a long time. And yet, she's had similar litigation placed against the unit owner only 3 doors down.
Hold on. Just out of curiosity, what's the name of your condo?
It's Venetian Park Condominium One Association.
Okay, just wanted to make sure you were not another place that I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Listen, there are a number of things that can be done. It sounds like we'll be talking to you in the near future, so I don't want to broadcast potential litigation plans over the radio.
Okay.
But what your secretary is correct. Not only does the attorney have to be approved by her, it needs to be approved by the entire board.
If the plaintiff in the case is going to wind up being the association, which I think is probably, you know, the proper way to go, you're dealing with somebody, from where I understand it, is interfering with the common areas in terms of disrupting electrical service to other unit owners. That's a serious problem. You know, you start messing around with electric service, you know, you can potentially create fires and things of that nature.
Well, on top of that, my husband is on dialysis, and she shut this electric while he's on a machine.
Yeah, well, no question she's a nuisance, not just to you, but to obviously everybody else in the community. But that's something I guess we need to talk about off the air in private, so we don't reveal any litigation strategy if we're going to be representing you. Give us a call at the office, 954-983-1112, 954-983-1112. Sherry, I guess we'll be talking to you tomorrow.
Well, and also, I think that for the listeners, because the way I understand it and I've read the statutes, that really a unit owner themselves is not at the at the mercy of the board. I'm sure that as a unit owner, there is things that they can do illegally without the board going in and seeking an attorney. And I think there's a lot of people out there that don't realize that and don't seek an attorney, because they figure that the board, and that's the dead end.
Sherry, you're absolutely right, and the law does provide specifically relief for unit owners that doesn't involve the board. And, you know, I think we're going to have a lot of time to talk about all of this tomorrow. So
let's take our first break. Again, taking your calls, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585 at Condo Craze and HOAs. We'll be back right after this.
Law firm of Glazer & Associates is asked all the time, why can't we be friends? Board members once elected have no idea how difficult and time-consuming it would be. They learn quickly that their decisions must be guided by statutes. declarations, and bylaws. At times it feels overwhelming, especially when homeowners are constantly complaining. Let Glazer & Associates help your board and homeowners be friends. Whether it's collecting past due assessments, amending your documents, or answering your questions, or if you're a community member involved in a disagreement with your association, Glazer & Associates will handle your legal matters with personal care by professionals who appreciate your business. They know you have a choice for your association legal services and want to show you why they are the right choice. Visit their website at florida-association-law.com or call 954-983-1112 for more information. Let them restore the friendship between neighbors. This advertisement has been provided by a non-attorney spokesperson.
Are you a small or medium-sized condominium or homeowners association in need of management services but just don't think it's in your budget? At FLCAM, we realize that there are associations that need help managing their communities but don't want a management company dictating how you live and who you do business with. FLCAM lets you manage your association your way. Let us take care of the tedious and time-consuming tasks of collecting receivables, paying bills, negotiating with vendors, and maintaining your records from our off-site office. This allows for professional management at substantial savings for your association. Call us at 954-961-7000. Call FLCAM today for a free, no-obligation proposal for management services for your community. FLCAM, management your way. Call us at 954-961-7000. That's 954-961-7000. Or visit our website at fl-cam.com. License CAB 3289.
Almost every large building project comes with headaches. Your contractor's a nightmare. The engineer's on a different page. There's problems with the municipality, etc. Well, no more. Call Florida Construction Project Management and say goodbye to the headaches. Florida Construction Project Management can oversee any condominium, hotel, office, or other large building project and get it done as you need it done. They have no affiliation with any contractors, engineers, or suppliers. They work for you. They'll inform you of the progress, keep everyone on the same page, and ensure you're not being taken for a ride. From getting the licenses, insurance, and best quotes to making sure everything's done to code and on time, Florida Construction Project Management will get it done. Why spend personal time getting headaches? Call 954-445-0862 or visit flcpm.com. Florida Construction Project Management. Finally, a company that can help. 954-445-0862 or flcpm.com. License number CGC 1513108. Ensuring your safety and protecting your property is what Kent Security Services does best. Kent Security has been serving South Florida since 1982 and is a total security solutions provider perfectly suited for gated communities and high-rise condominiums with door and vehicle access control, closed-circuit television, gates and gate arms, and state-of-the-art biometric systems with facial recognition that could actually eliminate the need for a live guard. Kent Security's team of professionals includes armed and unarmed officers with medical training and certifications. Kent uses IP cameras to track the activity at every stationary post and GPS to track roving guards' activity. For your free security analysis, call 1-800-273-KENT, extension 224. Visit on the web at kentsecurity.com. Kent Security Services, providing uncommon security excellence. Call 1-800-273-KENT.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. And we are taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We also have Sean Virtue, insurance guru extraordinaire, on the show with us as well.
All right. Thanks, one thing that Senator Fasano really wanted to talk about last week was the cost of insuring our homes. And the new insurance bill that was signed by Governor Scott about 2 weeks ago that, according to its supporters, tries to bring competition back into the state of Florida. But Senator Fasano largely went against his own party and came out against the bill, saying that everybody's insurance rates are about to go way up in the next 18 months. Sean Virtue is, again, is in the studio with us today to talk about the new insurance laws and give us the other side of the story. How you doing, Sean? How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
All right. Well, lots of you have been, again, reading in the papers and hearing on the news a bunch of reports about the governor signing this new insurance law into effect over the last few weeks. And, again, thanks for appearing on the show. But before we even get to the new bill, how about we just remind our listeners what a condominium association's responsibility is in obtaining insurance for the community and provide just a real quick primer on Condominium Insurance Law 101.
Well, Eric, as you know, in Florida Chapter 718, the Condominium Act, there's language that provides that an association controlled by unit owners operating a residential condominium shall use its best efforts to obtain and maintain adequate property insurance to protect the association property, the common elements, and the condominium property that must be insured by the association pursuant to this subsection.
All right. So the board has to use their best efforts to obtain adequate property insurance. Again, that's what the statute says, adequate property insurance. But how does a board determine what adequate insurance coverage actually is? It sounds like it's kind of a vague term.
Well, the statute defines adequate insurance coverage as insurance that must be based on the replacement cost of the property to be insured as determined by an independent insurance appraisal or an update of an appraisal that has to be done every 36 months. That is, the statutory requirement is every 36 months.
All right.
However, just one little thing I wanted to add to that is the governing docs of some associations say the determination should be done annually.
Oh, really? So notwithstanding the fact that the statute gives you once every 3 years, it might be something that's required, even a greater responsibility of the condo association if the docs require it.
That's correct.
All right. Now, again, I really don't want to just gloss over that because the law is clear that the condominium has to go through an appraisal at least once every 36 months, though, in order to determine what adequate insurance coverage actually is. I mean, that's what the statute says, right?
Yes, and it's the appraisal is the base document that is used to calculate premium. So it's very important to get a good appraiser. For example, I use Specialty Property Appraisals because they do such a great job. There are others out there, other companies that you can use. But it's very important because if there's a storm and it has to be repaired, you have to know what is the value we're talking about. And
right.
So this is a third party that says this is how much.
Gotcha. All right. Well, as we know, of course, hurricane season started just a few days ago, and now may be a good time to tell our listeners what items are covered by the condo's insurance policy and what items are not covered. There's always been confusion about this over the years. The statute has kind of gone back and forth. But tell us, you know, what can unit owners expect to be covered or not covered should a storm hit?
I like to use the expression, my policy ends at the drywall, y'all. So the drywall is really the easy marker. The association's policy must exclude coverage for all personal property within the unit or limited common elements and floors, walls, ceiling coverings, electrical fixtures, appliances, water heaters, water filters, built-in cabinets and countertops, window treatments, including your curtains, drapes, blinds, hardware, similar window treatments and components, or replacements of any of the foregoing which are located within the boundaries of the unit and serve only such unit. Such property and any insurance thereupon is the responsibility of the unit owner. Let me give you an example. The bathtub is not covered by the master policy.
Well, like you said, you know anything from the wall in, basically. So, I mean, you just read a long laundry list of items that are actually not covered by the condo's policy. Should they be damaged as a result of a hurricane or, I guess, or any other covered loss? But what type of insurance would actually provide the owners that additional coverage above and beyond what the condo's policy doesn't cover?
The kind of policy a person needs to shop for is called an HO6 policy. And that HO6 policy is actually a bundle of a couple different coverages. One of them is for the inside of the unit, such as the carpeting, the kitchen tile, the kitchen cabinets. Another part of the bundle is something that's actually very important. It's called loss assessment coverage. So if there's a storm that does major damage to the association, and because of the deductible on the master policy, everybody is assessed a special assessment to cover that deductible. If you have an HO6 policy, part of that cost could be picked up by that personal policy. And by law, they right now, that HO6 has to have $2,000 minimum. So, for example, there's a big storm. Everyone has to pay $3,000 in a special assessment. Well, $2,000 would have been covered by this HO6.
That's obviously really worth having. Guys, great opportunity to ask your insurance questions to somebody who knows the business really well. We're taking your calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We will be back right after this.
Condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
To Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis. I'm here with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro and also Sean Virtue, an insurance guru. And we're taking your phone calls, as we do all the time here on 850 WFTL, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
All right. Before the break, we were reviewing all the things that actually aren't covered by the condo's master policy, and how unit owners better have their own HO6 policy to cover hurricane damage, because if nothing else, it provides coverage up to $2,000 if your association passes a special assessment after a storm. But let's stay focused on obtaining coverage for the condominium association, because the Palm Beach Post reported last week that a sweeping and controversial measure aimed at reducing costs to property insurers and liability for taxpayers was signed by Governor Rick Scott, who said it was a significant first step in restoring private insurance in Florida. Now, we heard last week from Senator Fasano. He came out against his own party, and he said that he was against the bill because he thought it would actually make insurance rates rise in Florida. But, Sean, I know you disagree, but I think that in order to intelligently agree or disagree with that statement, we need a little history lesson here as to why there's basically no competition in the state of Florida for obtaining property insurance, and why we're almost forced to get insurance through Citizens. Walk us through how this, you know, whole thing happened.
Sure. The insurer of last resort, which is another name for Citizens, normally is the most expensive company, the carrier, on the market, so that the consumer naturally stays away. Previously, the rule of thumb was that their pricing was on average 15% more than the highest filed rate for admitted companies in Florida. Now, the previous administration and their legislative allies allowed the insurer of last resort to cut their rates in half because the idea was that it would put downward pressure on the pricing of private carriers, and they would lower their prices to stay in business. The problem is the private market is at a competitive disadvantage because they have a floor pricing that they can't go below because they have to prove to the state that they're collecting enough money to pay claims, you know, if there's a big storm. And the insurer of last resort doesn't have that rule that they have to follow. So the result was a migration of a large portion of the proper of the condo association property insurance market to the insurer of last resort because it's you know, they had great pricing.
Because they were allowed to do so by the legislature, I guess, originally. Mm-hmm. But so obviously you're saying Citizens was really supposed to be this insurer of last resort, and instead they wound up basically being a mandatory insurer because really there's no competition.
Right. The regulatory environment under the previous administration was, I would say, was hostile to the industry, and that did not help. You know, unfortunately, it seems the winds of change are starting to turn things around in Tallahassee. And I'm referring to, you know, SB 408, which was just signed by the governor.
Well, I tell you what, before we actually talk about Senate Bill 408 and everything that it does, how about we take some phone calls? How about we go to Joan in Palm City?
Yes. Hi, good morning.
Hi, Joan.
I have a quick question. My son just purchased a condo, a townhome.
Okay.
And it has an HOA. He paid $89,000 for it. And we're trying to get insurance for the interior. The outside and the roof is insured by the HOA. And all the insurance companies that we tried to get insurance from say that the minimum that they can insure for is $150,000. And I was wondering if that is correct. They want to charge like $1,500 just for the interior of the building. I own my own home, and I'm only paying like $16 for insurance. So I don't understand that.
And the roof is actually covered by the association, is what you're saying?
Yes. The roof actually replaced after the last hurricanes. They were replaced, I think, in 2005 or 2006.
What about that, Sean? You ever hear of an insurance company requiring a minimum amount to be purchased?
What they do is they run what's called a replacement cost estimator, where they collect data and they try to find out the type of construction of the building, the year of construction, its location in regards to the ocean, and then they come up with a per square foot amount that it would cost to replace. And then they multiply it out by the number of square feet, and that is the amount that they think is the minimum you would need to make you whole again after a loss.
So that's why they're making you purchase that amount of insurance specifically, because that would be
right.
Required
and
to
they're
make
not,
you
they're not near the ocean at all, and we're in Palm City, and it's cinder block construction with poured concrete ceilings, and, you know, the building is very, very well constructed. So for just the interior of the building, I wasn't sure why. You know, they're newlyweds. They don't have $150,000 worth of stuff on the interior of the building.
What is the square footage we're talking about?
1,300 square feet.
1,300 square feet. Okay. So then it's a math calculation of 1,300 square feet divided by 150,000. Is that it?
That's what they're saying, the minimum that they write policies for.
Now, whatever the agency that this is recommending this, I would probably shop around and see if another agency can find a better rate. For example, Randy Hoffman with Allstate does HO6 policies. And I can give you his phone number if you'd like.
Yeah, and they're also
okay,
a sponsor.
Let me just ask you this. Is it an HO6 since it's an HOA, not a condominium?
Sure, absolutely.
Still an HO6 policy.
HO6. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right. So what you're going to do is you're going to give Randy a call at 954-846-1206. And they're a longtime sponsor of the show, and they can help you with your HO6 policies and
great.
Questions.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah, they were saying that not a lot of people are writing policies in Martin County.
Well, give Randy a call. He's the guy to talk to, and I appreciate the call, Joan.
Great. Okay? I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, how about we go to Dave in Lake Worth? Dave?
Hi, folks.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Listen, I wish I'd known you weren't too busy today. I have a multitude of questions.
Well,
but
go ahead.
Let me start with this one.
We can't take a multitude, but we'll see how it goes.
I know. I know. Let me bounce a few things off you real quick. A condo is a 718 corporation, and it falls, as far as DBPR, they have a bureau that you can take complaints to.
Right.
Is there anything for HOAs, the 617, similar to that in the state?
No. Actually, HOAs fall under 720. And no, that's really what the whole debate was last week. That's why a lot of people were kind of angry with Senator Fasano's answer, because, again, he was saying there's just so many HOAs that it's difficult to regulate them. And, again, our listeners thought that, well, that's the whole point as to why they need to be regulated, why they need to be some governmental agency like the Division of Condominiums that oversees HOA matters. Now, it's kind of broadened over the last couple of years. You now have, like, let's say, mandatory mediation. You have certain types of election disputes that do, in fact, get handled by the division. But other than that, no, there's very little regulatory control over HOAs. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, then my next question is on fiduciary duties.
Right.
I've heard that, and I've seen it in writing. But I'm wondering, has anybody successfully taken that to court?
When you say fiduciary duties, what are you meaning? What? Suing board members for breach of fiduciary duty?
Right. Directors not doing their job properly.
Things like that happen all the time, but generally speaking, under Florida law, the only time a director of a condominium or an HOA is going to be found personally liable is when they've acted really in their own self-interest to make a buck. If they've acted in a criminal matter, something along those lines, or in willful disregard for the life, health, or safety of other people in the community. And that oftentimes is difficult to prove. So generally when they get sued for that, the insurance company comes in, defends them, and it generally works out one way or another, either through a court decision or through a settlement.
Okay. And I'm assuming you're not only mean officers, but you're including the board in general.
The board of directors as well. That's correct, Dave. Dave, we got to do this. We got to go to our last and, again, final break. We're taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We're here with Sean Virtue. Call in with your insurance questions. Perfect time of the year to fire away and ask. So, again, give us a call here in the studio. We'll be back right after this.
Condominium associations are facing significant challenges today, and with those challenges come the need for special help from a special property management firm. That firm is Miami-based KW Property Management and Consulting, comprised of a team of professionals who are meeting today's challenges. Staffed by CPAs and long-term property managers, KW brings financial controls, budgeting discipline, contract oversight, and strong vendor negotiation skills to its growing portfolio of clients. They call it the KW difference. The real estate market has changed, and so has the role of property managers. They're here to preserve the value of a valuable asset, your home. And today, that role involves strong financial controls and traditional property management responsibilities. Please visit kwpropertymanagement.com or call 305-476-9188. That's kwpropertymanagement.com. You'll see what they mean by the KW difference.
So, enjoy sitting around listening to Condo Craze and HOAs? Good. But when the show is done and you'd like to get in the shape of your life, get up and get to it with Cruise. Body by Cruise is the personal trainer of the area's best hard bodies. Their training and techniques will help you get results like never before. And Cruise makes it easy. If your home or condo has gym facilities, Body by Cruise comes to you. The hassles of signing up and going to a gym often don't pan out, so Body by Cruise trains in the privacy of your own home. Cruise is trained well-known fitness gems like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Click the website to see more. Bodybycruise.com. That's bodybycruise.com. Or call 305-766-6877. You can get in the shape of your life. You can get results. All you need is the proper training, motivation, and know-how. And that's what you get with personal trainer Body by Cruise. Click bodybycruise.com and they'll come to you. Or call now 305-766-6877. Ask Eric. He's been training with Cruise for over 4 years.
Someday, you will need insurance. And for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities, all you need is Insurco. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
The law firm of Glazer & Associates is asked all the time, why can't we be friends? Board members once elected have no idea how difficult and time-consuming it would be. They learn quickly that their decisions must be guided by statutes, declarations, and bylaws. At times, it feels overwhelming, especially when homeowners are constantly complaining. Let Glazer & Associates help your board and homeowners be friends. Whether it's collecting past due assessments, amending your documents, or answering your questions, or if you're a community member involved in a disagreement with your association, Glazer & Associates will handle your legal matters with personal care by professionals who appreciate your business. They know you have a choice for your association legal services and want to show you why they are the right choice. Visit their website at florida-association-law.com or call 954-983-1112 for more information. Let them restore the friendship between neighbors. This advertisement has been provided by a non-attorney spokesperson.
Ensuring your safety and protecting your property is what Kent Security Services does best. Kent Security has been serving South Florida since 1982 and is a total security solutions provider perfectly suited for gated communities and high-rise condominiums with door and vehicle access control, closed-circuit television, gates and gate arms, and state-of-the-art biometric systems with facial recognition that could actually eliminate the need for a live guard. Kent Security's team of professionals includes armed and unarmed officers with medical training and certifications. Kent uses IP cameras to track the activity at every stationary post and GPS to track roving guards' activity. For your free security analysis, call 1-800-273-KENT, extension 224. Visit on the web at kentsecurity.com. Kent Security Services, providing uncommon security excellence. Call 1-800-273-KENT.
Back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer, Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates, taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We have lots of calls right now. We've got Charles from West Palm Beach on the line.
How are you, Charles?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My question, real briefly, is I have a condo that is on a reverse mortgage. And if this season we get hit with a bad hurricane and my unit becomes unlivable and I have to move to a new legal address, what repercussion will I have on any liabilities with the bank that has the mortgage?
I would think none, because, number one, I'm guessing in order to have that reverse mortgage, you had to provide proof of insurance. So probably on that insurance policy, you know, the holder of that reverse mortgage is a named insured. And I think you'd agree with me on that, Sean, right?
Absolutely. There's also one part of policy that is for extra living expenses, which should help defray the cost of having to live somewhere else. And if let's say it's $4,000, I'm just picking a number out of a hat. You can ask your agent to increase it from 4 to 6 to 10, and usually the cost is minimal for that extra living expense.
Now, hold on. I don't want to gloss over that. Are you saying an HO6 policy provides that additional living expense coverage as well?
Yes.
Okay, so our listeners really need to think about why it's so important to get an HO6 policy. It doesn't just cover what's the contents of your unit, but should something happen and people run into a situation like Charles is concerned about, having to actually leave the condominium, the HO6 policy will pick up those interim expenses.
That's big.
Correct.
Yeah.
And now, it used to be 50% of the amount insured, but after Hurricane Andrew back in the 80s, the insurance companies figured out that that amount was way too much, so they reduced it down to about 10% of whatever the policy is. And if you want to buy extra coverage, you have to pay for it, and it is a minimal amount.
All right, Charles, I know you had a follow up question.
Yes, my association has insurance for the buildings and the roof and everything like that, and I have no insurance on the interior contents. Will I be liable for that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's what we were talking about earlier on in the show and why it's so important for condominium owners to actually have that additional HO6 policy, because as Sean was telling all of our listeners earlier on, many of the items that are in your unit, for example, the floor coverings, the wall coverings, the ceiling coverings, the electrical fixtures, all your appliances, your water heaters, all your cabinets and countertops, none of that is covered by the condo's policy, none of it. So you better have your own insurance to deal with a loss for all of those items should a storm come through your condo and hit. But, Charles, we got to move on to our next caller. How about we take Rita in Aventura?
Hello.
Rita, how are you?
Good. How are you? Oh. I do want to get back to this dog issue.
Okay.
Because I really don't understand how we can ask somebody if they have a service dog, if they claim to have a service dog, to show proof. We're not allowed to ask them for proof, but yet it's a felony if they're imitating a service dog. The other thing is, these people who are supposedly need these dogs for whatever assistance they claim mentally, if they're not able to take care of this dog, which I mean walking them properly and picking up after them, if they curse at people and wave their backsides at people who claim that, you know, you should pick up after your dog, they have rights. Where people who don't like animals or who are allergic to animals and move to an area where they expected not to live with animals and not to have to contend with that, it's now being forced on them.
Yeah.
Why did HUD get involved in this?
Interesting
and
question.
And I happen to be an animal lover. I want you to understand this. I've always had animals before I moved where they're not allowed,
right,
because of the people who don't pick up.
All right.
And my children have.
Okay. Deep breath, Rita, and I'll try to give you an answer. And I can tell you, your argument is catching on, and again, even our firm now represents some associations that have also had enough, and they're kind of fed up with the excuse that, you know, people need a pet for emotional reasons, and a lot of condominiums are in fact challenging this in the court. And the one that's getting a lot of attention right now, there's actually a case out of Century Village where the county has now actually filed suit against the condominium, alleging that the condominium violated some woman's rights to have a chihuahua. Why the county feels it's necessary to get involved in this and spend taxpayer dollars on one person's right to have a chihuahua, I have no idea. But, you know, again, we've always said on the show that a lot of these laws, so-called laws, that allow these unit owners to have these emotional support animals, they're really not even laws at all. Scott, just remind our listeners that, you know, really how these laws or whatever they're called actually came into effect.
Well, they're regulations, Eric. The law, especially when we're talking about emotional support animals and any laws that provide animals for people that live within condominiums, is the Fair Housing Act. That is a federal act that was passed by Congress. Now, when an act gets passed by Congress, it needs to be interpreted and enforced by the executive. executive branch. And we think we all learned that in civics class in high school. Well, the executive branch, the president, and his secretary of housing and urban development come up with regulations to see that these acts are enforced. These regulations are interpreted to be the meaning of the act. And back in 2008, under the Bush administration, the wording in the regulations of the Fair Housing Act that enforced the rights of people to keep animals was changed to emotional support animals, and they define that as an animal that doesn't need a specific training to do anything. It just needs to be prescribed to support someone with emotional support. And that's where all this ambiguity and gray area has been developed.
Is it a felony to pretend that your dog is an emotional support animal?
I read that in the newspaper, I believe. I know Sun Sentinel had an article that actually said that.
I don't know 100% if it's a felony.
They take the position that a lot of people are actually faking it.
Well, if it isn't a law, though, regulation, how could it be a felony?
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is that, again, a lot of condominiums think that, again, just as I guess Rita thinks, this has gone too far, and a lot of people who really don't need the pet at all are simply saying, getting a doctor's note saying that they would benefit from it, even though the pet has no training. And interestingly enough, under the American with Disabilities Act, Scott, correct me if I'm wrong here, the government has actually changed, I guess, the law, the rule, the procedure, or whatever you want to call it. And now a service animal is not defined any longer as an emotional support animal. One doesn't include the other.
No, they've gone back to the old way of defining a service animal as one that provides a specific service for a disabled person, and i.e. a blind person requiring a seeing eye dog.
Right.
But the Americans with Disabilities Act, for the most part, protects people's rights when they're in public places and things of that nature. The Fair Housing Act, which is what regulates condominium associations, has not been changed to go back to that old wording yet. But I think there's a lot of people that are upset with this. A lot of people are also upset with emotional support animals on airplanes, basically.
Right. Are you a small or medium-sized condominium or homeowners association in need of...
And we'll talk about that some other time, because it sounds like we got to go.
Yeah.
Eric?
I think we got about 30 seconds left to go. I see we have some more callers on the phone, but we apologize that we couldn't get through to you today. Big game tonight, guys.
Yes.
Game 3. All right, fast.
Go
some
Heat.
Predictions.
Miami Heat.
Miami Heat. All right, Karen.
They won't be as complacent. They'll stick with their lead and they'll win.
And they'll win. How about you, Sean? What are you thinking?
Miami Heat.
Miami Heat. All right, I'll be the only one on the box to say... Go Dallas!
No.
All right, guys, we'll see you next week on Condo Craze and HOAs.